Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. Take a proper break with a Cadbury Brunch Bar.
Now, storybooks, fairy tales and the media have hardwired many of us into believing we will eventually meet the one, the person that we're supposed to spend the rest of our lives with. Polyamorous relationships reject the idea of the one and allows you and your partner to be in consenting relationships with more than one person concurrently. So one such couple are August and November, not their real names, obviously. Unfortunately, November isn't feeling too well today, but we do have August on the line to talk about us, or to talk to us about how their relationship works. Hello, August. How are you?
I am not bad. Good to be here.
Good to be. Yes, well, it's great to have you on. So obviously, August isn't your real name. You're remaining anonymous, of course, because there are close people in your family and stuff that don't know exactly about your relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so you and November, your wife, you've been married for quite a long time at this stage.
We are married 12 years now and have been together, we're together overall 19 years.
Wow, a long time. So, you know, you weren't always polyamorous.
No, we weren't. We were very much, very, very monogamous for a very, very long time, up until about a little over 3 years ago.
Okay, so how did that conversation come about and why did you decide to kind of explore that option?
Well, we've always been very open. I mean, there's literally nothing we don't talk about. We constantly refer to each other as best friend. So there came this point in conversation where we're talking about mutual crushes that we had on people.
Okay.
And we were talking about mutual crushes we had on our friends.
Right. Okay.
My wife, November, she recently realized she's bisexual, and we were discussing that just, you know, because, again, we talk about everything. So when she had this realization, I was one of the very first people she came to and opened up to about it. So we talked about it, and she admitted to having crushes on our friends. I admitted to having crushes on those same friends. And we realized that the idea of that crush, that attraction, didn't make either of us feel jealous or insecure in any way. And so that started a longer conversation, which culminated in the decision that actually, yes, we could explore the idea of opening up our relationship to other people.
Okay, and it's an interesting one because jealousy is obviously a word that gets thrown around quite a bit, particularly with these kinds of relationships. But, I mean, how did you guys navigate jealousy?
I think because from the start, what we'd said was when we decided that we were going to try this out, the very first rule we had was, and a lot of people, there are good rules, as I say, and there are some bad rules regarding how to practice polyamory. It's different for every person, every couple, and every group of people involved in it. But the most important one is to talk about everything that comes up, because jealousy, people think of it as a bad thing, but it doesn't have to be. It can be an opportunity to express what is causing it. In most cases, jealousy comes from some kind of an insecurity. Our first rule was, once either of us wants out of this, that's the discussion that has to be had, and will likely result in it all stopping.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
yeah.
That's something that works, that has worked so far for us, and it's different for every group. There's this concept within polyamory, which, and it's a word I only learned even, I think, a year into our journey of this, compersion, which is, I guess, kind of anti-jealousy. It's the idea of taking joy and pleasure from someone else's joy and pleasure. So if you see that a friend succeed at something, like they get as a promotion at work, and that makes you happy for them, that's compersion.
Right.
So that can extend to a couple and their romantic engagements as well.
Interesting. That is very interesting, because jealousy doesn't really come into it at that point, because you're just so happy to see how happy they are.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Okay, so tell me a little bit about, you know, you decided, okay, let's try this, let's be a little bit more open. Was it scary going into the first, you know, relationship that was outside of your marriage?
Absolutely. I mean, like, everything new is scary. There's no way to get around that. What we actually found was we were more worried about what the other would feel. than okay. what we would personally feel. So, for example, if November was going out on a date, she'd be more worried about how I would feel about it than I'd be concerned about how I would feel about the date.
Right, okay. Right, you're obviously a very caring and open, well, obviously you're quite open, you know what I mean? You're very close. You do sound like you consider each other a lot in any decision that you make.
You have to in this. Like, I mean, it's even a monogamous relationship can be difficult to maintain over such a long time. So when you're adding extra people into it in that way, you've got to consider everyone's feelings.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so I guess after that first experience, was it you or was it November who had the first experience with somebody else?
It was November, actually. Was it,
okay.
The first experience with the person, yeah.
So how did you both feel then afterwards?
It was fine. Like I say, we talked about it afterwards. We always said we would discuss each step as it comes up as such. I mean, as any relationship progresses, we would basically keep each other informed as to what stage it was at. Not only for personal, for the emotional protection, but also for sexual health-wise, etc. That's also a consideration.
Of course.
So we have to be prepared for each step to progress. So we talked about it, and it was actually quite all right.
Yeah. And you had nothing to do with it. Like, she went off separately and had this kind of romantic moment with somebody else, and you weren't involved.
That's right. Now there are a lot of people will form, say, triads or that kind of thing, or closed groups. We don't look to date the same person or anything like that.
Right, okay. Because there are lots of different kind of variations of polyamorous relationships, and there's a whole different vocabulary out there as well. And I know that you're very well-read and well-experienced in all of that as well. So, I mean, was there a period of time where it was like a learning period for you?
Well, we spent the better part of a year just discussing it and learning about it before we actively went looking to date anybody.
Right, okay. Because communication is so important.
Of course, yeah. And you don't want to jump into something without knowing it's right for you. Mm. And as it happens, we have quite a few number of friends who are already polyamorous or in the polyamory community. So we went to them for advice and spent a long time talking to them, reading up on articles about it, that sort of thing, looking at lived experiences so we could know what to avoid and make sure that, and most importantly of all, make sure this was something that was right for us.
Exactly. And so, I mean, how do you go about meeting other people? Because it's, you know, it is a slightly unusual situation. You know, you obviously have to share that you are married, you know, that this is a different type of dating.
Absolutely. Most frequently, actually, it's been dating apps.
And are there any in particular that are better than others?
OkCupid has a specific option to set for being non-monogamous. Then there's a couple of newer ones. There's Open, which it's not very well. It's a very, very new one. It doesn't do much. There's also Field, F-E-E-L-D, which is, tends more for diverse interests.
Okay. Nicely put. it is the morning, after all. Yeah.
It's the morning. So
we have to keep it PG. Thank you for that sensitivity.
So for more diverse interests. Right. And a lot of the time it has the couples looking for an extra person or a couple of to get involved with, which isn't really our thing.
Okay. So another interesting fact about you guys, you've got a family, you've got kids. So how does that work in terms of, you know, you've got your own relationship, you've got your careers, you've got your family, and you also have separate relationships. So are the kids aware of it?
Well, this is where a personal choice about how to operate our lives and eventually raise our kids, because myself and November, we started talking about how we would raise kids from when we were only 6 months together. You know, we would watch Super Nanny on a Saturday morning kind of thing together. Mm. So, and we talked very early on about if we had kids, how would we raise them? We're big believers in the concept of a chosen family, that your friends are your family. So even before we had children, even before we were married, we'd often have friends stay over. Like, we'd gone to the movies, a couple of friends would come back, crash on the couch with a spare room or something like that.
Yeah.
With breakfast in the morning. So that was a natural part of our lives to begin with.
Okay.
And then once we started having kids, we would refer to our close friends as, you know, our kids' aunts and uncles. That's how we'd introduce them.
Right.
And even after we had kids, friends would still stay over. So when we started dating, really, it was just an extension of that. I mean, our kids are quite young. They're, you know, they're not at the age where they understand, where they're starting to ask questions yet about things like sex and boyfriends or girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
But they would be very used to the idea that they wake up in the morning and, you know, a friend would be sleeping on the couch.
Okay, it's not the weirdest concept for them. They're like, who is this stranger? That's kind of the norm in your place.
That's how we've happened to raise our kids,
okay.
Which is not, that's a privilege. We have that advantage. Not everyone in the situation would have that.
Yeah.
And it is an important thing to consider because kids can get confused. They want to learn. Mm-hmm. And we're built on such strict adherence to monogamy, the idea that there is only this one person who can be everything for you, that there is that chance. It can be confusing and even upsetting for kids if they think that, you know, daddy likes this other person more than mommy. You know, so that's a very important area to think about. If you don't have the luxury of being in a situation where we are, where we're so open about how much we care about our friends, and if you start that journey, you've got to be attentive to how your children will view it.
Yeah, you seem to really think about all aspects of that, which is really good to hear, because I think that there is a misconception that people who are open to, you know, seeing other people, they might be just a little bit frivolous and, you know, this term of, oh, they're just selfish, they want to have it all kind of thing gets spouted quite a lot, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. It's a big thing. It's one of the reasons why we are relatives don't see a lot of our extended relatives very frequently. We see our parents and our parents aren't aware, because they wouldn't understand and they're a bit more conservative.
Yeah.
And so that would cause a lot of issues there. Now, there are other people in the community, friends of mine, whose parents are aware and are completely supportive. So again, it's like everything. You've got to know who you can come out to.
Exactly. And so just kind of going on from that point, I mean, do you feel like you have to kind of keep this part of your life a secret just in terms of community? I mean, is there kind of a secret community in Ireland? Is it growing?
That's a loaded word, I would think. There are people whose familial connections and even careers could be damaged if it came out. And to be honest, I'm absolutely frank. It's similar in the LGBTQ community as well. That, you know, you have to keep that side of yourself private, because even though there are laws against it, there is discrimination.
You're absolutely right. That is true. And as well, I mean, people who have, you know, quote unquote, a kind of normal relationship, whatever that is, they don't go in and tell their bosses and their family all about their sex lives either, you know, that way. So
exactly. And they're expected to. But once it's something out of the commonplace rather than the norm.
Yes.
Once it's not commonplace, everyone thinks that they're entitled to know about it. And that can be very uncomfortable for people, you know.
Exactly.
So there is a community. It's quite large. It's growing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like any community, it's not a single unit of community. It's more like that. There are a lot more people than you would think.
Very interesting. And listen, I could speak to you for a lot longer and go a little bit more in detail here, but we have to cut it short, I'm afraid. But I guess one kind of final parting piece of advice that you could share with anyone who's listening in and they've kind of thought about this before, what's the first step that they should take?
Well, if you happen to have a partner, talk to them about it. If you don't have a partner, it's a bit of an easier situation to be in, because you can just be upfront with every new partner.
Exactly.
Explore the literature on it. There's a wealth of resources online about it. The book, The Ethical Slut, is probably considered the top singular resource on the subject of non-monogamy at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd recommend reading that. The main thing I would say, though, is make sure it's something that's right for you, because if you think handling one relationship is a lot of commitment, imagine having an extra person or two people or three people or more on top of that.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure everyone's on the same page and that you give everyone the time that they expect and need.
Mm.
So it is a massive commitment.
Yes.
So that's what I'd say, is just take your time.
Exactly. There's no rush and there's no point in hurting people's feelings. Everyone's on the same page. Well, listen, August, I really appreciate your time and thank you so much for sharing a lot with us because that obviously, you know, it's very personal to you. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. Take a proper break with a Cadbury Brunch Bar.